This is the Jerry Doyle Show.
I'm not sure who's dumber. I'm watching these surf Nazis in Huntington Beach, California, in file footage of them rioting over a ketchup bottle or something like that, and they're tipping over porta potties and they're cheering. Now, I'm not sure if they're dumber or the people in New York City who still think that Anthony Weiner should be the mayor of that city. Joining us on the program to talk about it is Anita Finley, author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor, and her latest piece there, Anthony Weiner and Larry Summers Make My Head Ache. Anita, welcome back.
Thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing well. There's this headline I was just telling people about on USA Today. Spitzer won't support Weiner for New York City mayor. When you put client number nine together with this Weiner nut job, I mean, it's like if you were an actress in Hollywood, still are, do a lot of voiceover work. But, I mean, if you wrote this stuff down and submitted it as a treatment, I think they would say that it never happened. But
no,
it's happening.
You couldn't make anybody believe you, absolutely. And I find it appalling. Look, I don't want to sit in judgment of anybody because we all, to some degree, live in a glass house. But Anthony Weiner's behavior, number one, it's beyond just having an affair. I mean, you're talking about this sleazy behavior of taking pictures of your wee-wee in the shower and texting this to women, and then all sorts of lurid and horrible stuff besides it that was like, I want to put my hands around your throat, and I don't want to go into more specifics. But I just, the recklessness and the immaturity of this, it really calls into question not only that the man needs some serious help, but that the immaturity of something like this, never mind the horror show that he's putting his wife through. I mean, I can't believe that anybody would look at him. But, you know, now, by the way, his poll numbers have dropped significantly. Yeah. The fact that he was still in the lead last week was shocking. But I think the details of all this have sort of filtered through in the papers, and people are starting to get wind of it. And now he's, you know, last in the polls. And I don't know how much longer he's going to last, nor should he.
Right. In your piece, you talk about other examples. Mark Sanford goes from the governor's mansion to Congress, a former Republican who he told his staff that he was hiking the Appalachian Trail. But in reality, what he said was, I'm chasing Argentinian tail. He gets a pass. Then you talk in the piece about Elliot Spitzer, client number nine. I mean, it just seems like the list of losers continues to be rewarded by people who, is it not that they don't care about the behavior? That doesn't matter? Is it just name ID? I mean, I'll do the Hollywood comparison here for a second. They say, okay, we got this new movie. It's going to be a $50 billion budget, blah, blah, blah. We got Tom Cruise or we have Joe Fottegi. Who's the better actor? Joe Fottegi. Who's the name? Tom Cruise. Who gets the movie? Tom Cruise. Is that where we're at in politics, where the name is more important to get the votes like it is the name in Hollywood to put seats in the seats?
I think that you can make an argument that that is true, particularly, you know, that they say no publicity is bad publicity. I think that is true to a point. But, you know, the other argument I would make is that if it were a woman, she would get no such pass. And you know that. I mean, if
right.
a woman had behaved in such a lurid fashion as Weiner had or Spitzer, there would be a scarlet A. This would be plastered all over the headlines forever. And it's not that men don't have this stuff publicized, but it doesn't seem to stop them necessarily from having second acts or third acts in politics. And I wonder if in our society it's because we are still predisposed to an attitude of boys will be boys and we make excuses for that. You know, Michael Gerson in the Washington Post wrote a very interesting column the other day, and he said that while Americans are generally forgiving about sex and politics, they're right to be concerned about a scandal involving sex plus compulsion or sex plus misogyny. And that may be why Weiner is finally dropping in the polls. But I agree with you. I mean, I think that, you know, the fact that we're so forgiving about this, is it also a case of that's the best of what's out there, that's who happens to be running? I don't even know the answer to that.
One of the other best that's in the running, you mentioned in the piece, Larry Summers, former director of White House Economic Council for President Obama. Now, he's up for, you know, the big position of advising Right, advising the future of the nation's finances as the Fed chair. But as you point out, there's a Fed vice chair right now named Janet Yellen, who saw the 2008 financial collapse, was endorsed by Sheila Bair, and she's not probably going to get the gig. And Larry Summers, he's not qualified to get the gig.
No, he's a disaster, but he's still a member. And I know, you know, maybe I sound like a broken record, but too bad. It's the truth. It really is part of this boys club and this network that the president happens to be comfortable with and that people before him in that office were comfortable with. I mean, Larry Summers has been around for a long time, but that does not make him right. And he has been wrong so many times and was known as sort of a deregulation king. I mean, you know, somebody had written a piece in Salon talking about that he's an ignoramus when it came to the economy, and this is who we're thinking of putting in the position of a job that people say is just as important as the president's.
The Glass-Steagall Act was repealed, and that was the one that kept, you know, the Bailey savings and loan from an old man Potter doing business together and screwing up,
exactly.
You know, everything in the town. So Larry Summers is the guy that says, yep, we got to get rid of it. And he was not alone in this, but it was just a couple of weeks back when Senator John McCain was talking about how we need to regulate the banking industry. We need to bring back Glass-Steagall. John McCain voted to break up the Glass-Steagall and to give the firms the ability to go ahead and make all these risky bets that we ended up with $600 trillion in synthetic derivatives. The gross domestic product of the planet is $62 trillion. We had 10 times that in things that really don't exist. And maybe it doesn't exist in people's minds, Anita, that McCain was the guy then that got us to where we are now, but he's the guy now that's telling us where we need to get to later.
Well, certainly, because now it's more popular to say what he's saying today versus what he was saying. Don't forget also in 1998, or rather in 2000, when all this happened, you know, we were just riding high and thinking that the wave would never end. And I think that we were very cocky in terms of being able to just pump, you know, these kinds of investments, and people were just power mad and thought they could get away with it. Certainly the guys in the financial sector, and we never had, I'm not some accomplished person on the economy, and I would never say that I am, but, you know, just being a layperson and looking at this, just what was written in the news, I mean, there was an attitude that we were riding a never-ending wave
right.
in terms of the housing market, in terms of everything, and now that we see we are in a much more humble situation, people are now changing their tune because it's politically convenient. But this just goes back to the kabuki theater that you and I are always talking about.
So how does someone like the Fed vice chair Yellen get that next bump up? What has to happen with the good old boy network where we actually would put someone in who knows what she's doing, saw what was coming, tried to do something to avert the crisis, but now she's kind of just being put on the back burner. What has to happen for that to happen? And again, I think you're of the same mindset that I am. Doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. It matters who the right person for the job is. And if that happens to be a woman, so be it. But it doesn't seem that that's what's happening now.
Well, the answer to that question is that every single one of your listeners, it really is the I'm going to get out of my chair and yell out the window, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. It really amounts to everybody calling the representatives, writing to the newspaper, making noise to a deafening level so that they cannot ignore it, because otherwise I fear what will happen is the go along to get along kind of an attitude. I just wrote the president, I wrote my senators, I wrote to everybody I could think of over the weekend when I saw that all this was coming down the pike, because we cannot afford it. You cannot afford to have somebody else put back in charge when they really have no idea what's going on. But I think without a huge grassroots outcry, and that may not even do it, but I have to believe that there is at least some hope for doing that. But we have to be a lot more willing to just make some noise. And you know what? With the internet, it really only takes 30 seconds.
Yep. Anita Finley is with us on the program. Author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor. Her latest up there at EpicTimes.com, Anthony Weiner and Larry Summers Make My Headache. Really well-written piece, and it goes through the repeal of Glass-Steagall. It goes through the financial meltdown. It goes through the questions about whether or not we're going to have a repeat of that. You would think that maybe somebody would say that's not a good idea. But if in reality, it really isn't about the economy, and it really isn't about jobs, and it really isn't fighting for the middle class, as Obama was talking about during his weekly address, if it's really just about preserving the system of the banker gangsters on Wall Street, you know, then maybe there's an explanation for what should be happening isn't, and what is happening shouldn't. It just it you read this stuff. And on the break, you were talking about Wall Street and the $600 trillion in derivatives. When they were rigging the LIBOR market, they were rigging the LIBOR rate. The LIBOR rate is an $800 trillion marketplace. Home loans, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, all this kind of stuff relates to LIBOR. It's an $800 trillion marketplace. But the callousness of one of the senior traders at one of the firms involved in rigging LIBOR on his Outlook, his daily planner, pick up dry cleaning, rig LIBOR rate.
Oh.
I mean, how
it's frightening.
Is it not?
You know something? But Jerry, you and I and everybody listening and anybody we have contact with, people have to decide that we are no longer going to accept the lowest common denominator. And I wonder if part of it is a societal thing. And that really goes to, you know, the corporate Uber lords as well, who put on the entertainment. Look at what's entertaining us. We have nothing but the lowest common denominator with this reality television and everybody screaming at everybody else and starting fights with everybody else. These are like train wrecks, and I talk about that in my piece. We are looking at human train wrecks. Why are we allowing ourselves to be distracted with this sort of thing? I think that there is so much in human nature that is truly better than that. I meet so many lovely people every single day, and I know that we can find a way to make ourselves heard and say, you know what, I'm not going to settle for that. Because as long as you settle for the lesser of two evils, that's what you're going to get.
I get it. I was very excited to see 3 million people show up at the beach to listen to the Pope. And I thought the Pope's message was what we could take a look at politically, where he talks about how we have to reach out to the margins, that we have to get out of our little sacristies of like-minded think, and it made, I was just like, you know what, maybe this is, we can take a message from the Pope. Here's the one message I got from the Pope. Gay priests kind of okay with that. They said he's opened the door to the possibility of having gay priests, but he slammed the door shut on having female priests, because supposedly that's been set in stone by Pope John Paul II, and that there's a role for women in the church, but it was definitely settled by John Paul II. But the new pope wants to develop a theology of the woman in order to expand and deepen their involvement in the life of the church. I mean, what difference does it matter if a priest is gay or straight, male or female? Because don't they all take the vow of celibacy?
Well, of course, there is no difference whatsoever, but this, unfortunately, is part of the patriarchal thinking. You know, anything that we write, this is still all man-made, and if man made a certain decision, then he can make another decision. What is nothing is set in stone, and if you want to talk about women are equal in our society, then you have to say that they are equal in all respects. And certainly you can be ministered to by a female priest as much as you can by a male priest. I mean, actually, my old roommate from college, she wanted to be a priest. This is a woman who is a devout Catholic, and she to this day serves her church in any way that she can. I've lost touch with her, so I don't know that she'll ever realize her dream. But, you know, think about it. Think about the travesty of somebody who is giving her life to the church and wants to be there for people and wants to be there for the people, you know, in that church, and that she is being denied the right to do this to the fullest extent that she can make her services useful. What sense does that make?
No, I mean, and if you take the Pope's comments, where he was asked about, you know, the greater acceptance of gay priests inside the ranks of the Catholic Church, and by the way, not too many years ago, a gay person, homosexuality was a disorder,
of course, and absolutely,
right, so. So this is deep-seated homosexuality from entering the priesthood, was what they were trying to avoid. But this new Pope, Pope Francis, who I like, he said, "Who am I to judge a gay person of goodwill who seeks the Lord? You can't marginalize these people, but yet you can marginalize women."
But isn't that interesting that we're still doing it? And, it, you know, even to take it back to politics for 2 seconds, think about Rand Paul, who's positioning himself for 2016. He even made a comment a few months ago when he saw that gay marriage seems to be more the trend nowadays in terms of acceptance across the country, that it was okay to be accepting. He said we have to experience greater tolerance. And yet, he doesn't necessarily send that over to where women are concerned. So it's very interesting that we still have this sort of double standard, and I think that that is also bowing to a certain religious objection that people have. But if you think about it, you're not making women the equal of men. You are still denying that as long as you are creating a double standard. And if you have that sort of double standard in terms of religion or socially, how are you not going to have it in terms of leadership, in terms of women in the boardroom, in terms of women being president, in terms of women being the Fed chair?
Exactly. It's all valid points. That's why I always enjoy reading the stuff that you write, which you can read at epictimes.com, which is the digital home of the Jerry Doyle Show. Anita Finley's latest piece up there about Anthony Weiner and Larry Summers and a whole bunch of other people that give her one giant headache. But at least in here, there's a little bit of hope. There's a little bit of, you know, we can do this. And I think that that was a big part of what the Pope's message was down in Brazil with those 3 million people, is that we can do this.
Absolutely. At least we're making some forward progress. He seems to be a more humble pope, and I'm curious to hear what he says going forward, and I hope that he's willing to embrace a message of inclusion toward women also at all levels of the clergy, because I think that would be a big help. And I never feel a headache when I'm on with you, Jerry, because obviously you cure my headache, that's for sure.
Always enjoy talking to you. Always enjoy reading your stuff. Check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin. Anita Finlay, the author, our guest, and EpicTimes.com contributor. I always look forward to what you have, so keep it coming.